For my whole career, I've used D'Addario strings.
This is the one that I use live with Megadeth, and I love it.
I've been with D'Addario my whole career, even when I was playing bass in Van Halen. D'Addario for life. And I say it right, D'Addario.
Hey everyone, this is Chris Keys for Premier Guitar. I'm joined by my two friends and colleagues, Perry, John. How are you guys doing?
Fabulous.
Could be better.
Yeah. I feel like it was just yesterday we did this last year, but here we are again at the end of the year. Talk about our favorite rig rundown, some travel we got to do, and gear all encompassing. So going first, I think, should we go in reverse order? I think we should.
Sure.
They didn't make the top 10, but they're probably going to crack it because time hasn't been on their side, being published later in the year. Jeff Tweedy and Marty Stewart are neck and neck. Crossed over 100,000 views in very short time.
Yeah.
So I think they'll get in there, but they didn't get enough, time. Enough runway.
Right. That was such a great rundown because I don't know, how long have you been doing this gig?
Yeah. Like, you've been doing it for 12 years.
Yeah, 12 years. And for 12 years, I've been pitching it. And I've been talking to, talked to Kenny about it, like, every year for over a decade. And we finally, the planets aligned, we were able to do it. And it was so great. Those guys are such, just, Marty Stewart and Kenny Vaughn are just high, just amazing people. Incredibly talented and kind and wonderful. And so that was great.
Marty defines cool.
Oh yeah, man.
That dude just exudes rad.
Well, and he's such an informative guy. The Ken Burns documentary on country music leans so heavily on him. And if you've not watched that documentary,
a central figure.
Oh God, he narrates a good deal of it. He is the guy, he's the one vetted guy in the room that when you need the answer, he's got it.
He reminds me of he's country music Forrest Gump. He just shows up in all these time. He's always got a story and an anecdote for everything. Yeah. You know, that one I thought in the rundown was so cool is the Ralph Mooney one.
Oh, yeah.
And he goes over the spring, and that's how he got that thing added into the clearance.
Yeah. See, that's the amazing thing about Marty, because he was with Flatten Scruggs because he was a child.
Yeah.
He's the guy that was working in this golden age of the Nashville Cat, but kept it going all the way up to now. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah, and you guys both, I didn't have a shirt, regretfully, but you guys both had Marty Stewart shirts.
Yeah.
At the rundown.
Yeah, I was wearing my
We just had to shirt. Like, you know, pay some homage.
Yeah. Anyway, so that was an amazing one. That was.
Yeah, and Kenny's great. He's, you know, one of the guys that we used to work with who's a great friend is Andy Ellis. He's one of the few people I knew that saw Hendrix.
Right.
And Kenny referenced seeing Hendrix. I think he said three times.
Yeah.
So Kenny's just a cool cat too.
Yeah. Yeah, he's incredible.
Yeah.
What a cool dude.
And then Jeff Tweedy, we did that in a cave.
Yeah. Yeah, in the cave. Guy. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we had to travel out of town. Caverns. Almost to Chattanooga, there's a venue called The Caverns. It's literally inside of a cave. And they have all kinds of really great shows. And so we did a run down there, and that was a different experience in a cave.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Controlled environment. Climate, at least.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But the thing with Jeff, and we kind of trying to do it for years, is we did one years ago with Nellis Klein, and he has an impressive guitar collection and gear, especially pedals. But Jeff, he's a guitar dude. I guess this Wilco Loft, their headquarters in Chicago, is loaded with it. He brought a bunch of cool gear. Like, the whole band, kind of Dwight Yoakam style, was using Jeff's gear.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
So if any of the footage that Perry picked and used for B-roll, the sound check and stuff, it was all his gear.
Yeah, he owned everything on the stage. I think he said he had like 50-something champs, right? Yeah. Like he had to number them because he just has a bunch of champs. So cool.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, and that single humbucker Jaguar. Yeah. Thing was badass.
Yeah, yeah.
What a cool guitar that was.
Yeah. But he was a dude that got in there, kind of like with you, because you said, like, if I was buying the guitars I have now, you wouldn't be able to afford them.
Oh, right. Oh yeah.
And he was buying them at pawn shops for hundreds of dollars.
But the difference is, he can't afford them.
Certainly now.
Yeah. He's cool.
I know the stores are cool and stuff. Like, it's so cool. Oh, yeah, I found this at a pawn shop in 1970. It makes my heart hurt, because it'll never happen for us. No. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
well, certainly not. Yeah. Yeah, you can't imagine our kids, but yeah.
Yeah.
So those two, I think, will be there. But now officially getting into the top 10, Marty Friedman. That was an early 2025 one.
Yeah, what a great guy.
Yeah, Shredder from Megadeth.
Yeah, Marty. Yeah.
And a genuinely very interesting man. Yeah, how he moves to Japan.
Who speaks fluent Japanese.
Isn't he a big TV star there?
Yes, he is. He's actually, like, in America, he's a huge rock and roll
guitar
icon.
Guy, yeah.
Yeah.
in Japan, he's a TV guy. When he got there, apparently, like, they just put him on TV because he was American, and like they were like so enamored that he was like this guy.
I think initially, these weird variety shows.
Yeah. And, like,
yeah, I think initially it was music related.
And then he's now he's just on like the news and stuff. Like,
so I imagine what you would see, you know, on like those VH1 shows where they just comment on pop culture. I think he said he was in like a version of, it wasn't Hollywood Squares, but Hollywood, he was,
he does a bunch of variety shows.
That's great. Yeah, fascinating guy.
Very interesting.
Yeah, and obviously his guitar playing.
Oh yeah, it's phenomenal. Amazing, yeah.
All right, well.
Cool signature too, yeah.
Going to number nine, this one took us to Travels. We went, this is for The Who.
Oh yeah.
Fenway. Oh man, what a fun trip.
Yeah, we went to Boston.
Yeah. Yeah, seeing those guys live, that was great.
Yeah. Yeah, we walked in and they were playing and it was, yeah.
At Fenway.
Yeah. It was cool.
Yeah, that was a really great trip.
I love it didn't make it on the rundown, but there's this old crusty
Binky.
Yeah, this old crusty.
He's a legendary tech.
Yeah, tech.
Yeah, he had been with them since like the 60s or something, right? Like,
but he had tech. But he did like Jimmy Page.
Yeah.
He's going to do an interview and he said, "Oh, sorry, lads, me back's hurting." Yeah. And like,
he had to go to the chiropractor. Yeah. At one point, he was very, very salty. So I'm like trying not to like get in his eye line at all, you know? And I'm watching them sound check and I'm kind of sitting on this road case, just enamored with this old man because he was hilarious. And I've never really met like heavy Cockney English people. Yeah. And like, it was so funny. So anyway, this other old English man on that tour comes up to Binky. He's like, "Binky, we're in Boston. Have you tried the beans?" And Binky goes, "The fucking beans in Boston, they put little hot dog wieners in the beans." Like, he was furious about it.
Yeah, I couldn't.
It was hilarious. And then at one point he was like, Oh shit, I've forgotten Roger's tea. And then he literally has like a huge tech case, like a road case. Bust that sucker open, there's a fucking tea kettle in there and like 30 teacups.
Cafeteria style teacups.
That's his
job is to make
Roger tea for soundcheck. And he was freaking out because he had forgotten. He's like, "Oh, we gotta find water." Man, what a character. I wanted to literally shoot a documentary on this old man because it's obvious, you know, he's not gonna be around forever,
too.
But he probably has the best stories.
It was frightfully British. Yeah.
Oh, he was so British. And please, if you are British and watching this, excuse my terrible British accent. But that guy just had me on my ass.
Fool me.
Yeah, the whole crew was British. And then it was a funny thing that happened. We'll get into it. I think this will be fun to get into is the Travels, but because Tommy Two Plates, we ran into him. But the thing that I wanted to bring up was, so the openers was a hometown crowd for Joe Perry Project.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, leaving, we're packing out, and they were the British guys, the Who crew, were upset because they had way more gear.
Like 10 times more.
Yeah. Yeah. They're like, how come the opener has more gear than the headliner? Because most of those guys had.
Joe Perry's amp has like I don't know, like a wall.
Yeah.
If you watch the Who rundown, like,
he had two twins or something.
And like five identical strats with an Emery board glued on it.
Direct with an Ampeg as like a monitor.
Super, super.
It was less than 20 minutes. Yeah. Joe Perry's would have been 2 hours.
Yeah.
Because Brad Whitford had double barrel. He had a bunch of amps too.
Listen, for some dudes in their 80s though, they sounded so good.
Oh God,
like, that was phenomenal. Yeah. Roger didn't move a lot, but man, he brought it home.
Sang great, man. That was great.
And I know that you're a TB Shakedown guy. Oh, we ran into Graham was there, right?
Yeah.
Teching for dad.
Yeah. How sweet is that, right? That his dad is out on tour. He's like, "I'm free. I'll go tech play."
Yeah.
So cute.
Yeah, that's great.
But we got to go around Boston. We got to one of our sales guy who's now retired, Gary. We got to meet up with him. So that was fun. We spent the day exploring Boston. Yeah. What is the first battleship?
Oh yeah, the old Ironsides, the USS Constitution.
Yeah, jeez. We got to tour that.
We got to go on it. It was really, really interesting.
Yeah.
And then we got some. What's there? The lobster roll.
Oh, lobster rolls.
Yeah.
And then we all had a really funny moment. We're walking. Gary is walking us around Boston, and I look to my right and I see this guy furiously walking with two plates, like big dinner saucers, you know, like dinner plates, and he's just like in a hurry or mad or something, and he's just walking like a maniac, and I'm like, "Oh, check it out, guys, it's Tommy Two Plates." And we just lost our minds laughing.
We still reference it.
Yeah, we call everybody Tommy Two Plates now, because I don't know where that guy was going, but man, was he fucking meaning it.
He was walking with a purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had so many backstories for him. It's one of the things that, I'm sure if you guys go on, you know, trips with your friends or just hang out and bullshit, it's just like, that's kind of what you do. It's just you're like, why was that guy walking down the street furiously with a plate in each hand?
Big ones.
Yeah.
So if you're watching Tommy Two Plates, tell us in the comments.
Please leave a comment, yeah. Tommy. We've got more questions than answers, bud.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah. All right. And, the next one, number 8, is Fontaine's DC. It was the second time we did those guys.
Man, those guys are great.
They headlined Marathon. And one of your friend I got to meet a few times now is Bailey.
Oh, yeah. Bailey Griffith. Great guy.
Text for them, yeah.
Yeah.
And he has one of the most impressive tech stands. Not only is it immaculate and he's on top of his work, but he has like a 55-inch TV that goes into the road case.
Yeah.
So he's got.
He's got an actuator or something. It pops open and he's got like video games set up, like whatever he wants to, like Netflix.
Normally it's like skate videos.
Yeah, he'll just have
skateboarder.
He'll have skate videos playing while he's setting up guitars and stuff. Very cool, dude.
But yeah, the gear's cool. Fontaine's, those guys are, they're rad. They're always changing their sound, so their gear does change. It's not similar bands, but kind of similar philosophies on gear. It's just acquire and figure it out as the Idols.
Right,
the band,
right.
The Idols. Those guys get a lot of sounds and change their sound so much, and Fontaine's are in that boat too.
Yeah.
So that was fun. Number 7, Steve Stevens.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was
with
great.
Frank Falbo.
Yeah.
I love Frankie Falbo, man. What a great dude.
The only thing that drove me crazy, we thought that Steve's going to make it. Yeah. Some kind of, so the whole time, because I love his work. He's just, he is an amazing.
I mean, he wanted to do it. I think his plane was late or something.
Yeah.
Of course. He's a rock star. He had a private plane that was delayed.
Yeah. Yeah. So the whole time, I'm like, you know.
Looking for him.
Yeah, looking for him. Anyway, but, you know, he's an amazing talent. That was fun.
And Frank was on top of it, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
He's legendary work with Seymour Duncan, Falbo Design.
Yeah.
But he's clearly a tech.
Yeah, he makes his own guitars that are rad.
Yeah. And I think he worked with Fishman too, so he's
on
it. And he was all over it. He was great on camera.
Yeah.
A lot of information.
Yeah, I think he helped develop the Fluence series pickups right
there.
Smart dude.
Yeah.
So that's obviously a guy you'd want teching for you.
But the one thing that I thought was cool and you brought up when we got into the spaceship on stage is that he's like, you know, did you build this or wire this all up for him? And he's like, no, Steve does. Steve's into it. Like, Steve's into it. So, like, I think he had his plane not, you know, been delayed, he would have been into it.
Oh, yeah.
But he programs all his stuff.
Yeah, and you know, he's been in the game so long that, I mean, you had to, like, I know there's techs building things for people now, but you know, in the 80s, you just pretty much figured it out on your own, and then techs helped with it.
So. Yeah. And, I've had friends that went to the shows, said it was awesome. Yeah.
Also, shout out Frank Falbo for nailing all Steve's parts in the sound check. Like when he was, I was like, God damn, Frank shreds.
he was on top of it in all facets.
Yeah.
All right, so coming in at number 6, Dan Huff. We got to go to Dan Huff's house.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's such an incredible musician and such an interesting career.
Yeah.
You know, Steve was a studio ace in LA back in the the hair days of metal, then an artist, and then a Nashville session ace,
and then the producer in all of the 2000s.
Yeah, and didn't play guitar. I mean like kind of quit playing and just put out this album that's fantastic.
He's a YouTuber now.
Yeah, and he's just an incredible musician, kind, wonderful person.
Well of knowledge.
What struck me is just his humility.
Oh yeah.
Like for a guy that big,
he was so
welcomed
funny.
Us right into his palatial estate.
Yeah.
What a wonderful dude. Like, I have nothing but admiration
so
for Dan Huff.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
hilarious and
yeah.
like
yeah.
humble and just such a badass player.
What you guys see in the rundown and now the stuff he's doing with Robert on his own channel, on Dan's channel, is who he is.
He is.
He was so funny. That rundown, he had us cracking up.
Yeah,
it was fun. Like he is something we've brought up a couple of times, or maybe you or we just hear it, is he said something like, you know, if I start playing fast, that means I run out of ideas.
Right.
Yeah.
I've thought about that a lot.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Well, every time I see myself or hear somebody else say, out of ideas.
Yeah. Well, a lot of times you'll be jamming or something and like kind of get nervous and just start shredding.
Yeah.
But that rope ain't very long.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
All right. Number 5, after Dan Huff, we have Queens of the Stone Age. That was another trip Perry and I went on.
Yeah. How fun. Troy is such a sweet, weird, awesome, just like an energy about that dude that is different than other people.
He's one of those dudes that his credits are deep. Like you kind of associate him with two main bands, but he was in Failure for
God damn.
And then yeah. and then obviously Perfect Circle, and then most, you know, most tenured being in Queens of the Stone Age. But he's touched a lot of bands and a lot of musical projects, and he's a very creative dude.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
And that's what I love about his role in the band. I'm a big Queens of the Stone Age fan, so that was fun being able to do that, because he was into it.
Yeah. Plus, we got to do a really fun pedal board giveaway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where we built like a Queens of the Stone Age
pedal board. Based on that kind of rundown, yeah, and we're cool. giving it away.
It was really cool. Yeah.
It's happening right now.
Yeah. Oh wow.
Yeah. If you see this, enter to win.
Yeah, because it'll be closing in a few days. I think December 30th is his last day to enter. But oh. we went to Eastside Music Supply with yeah. Blair.
Oh really?
And kind of had Blair like, you know, oh, hey, we want to get Queens of Stone Age tones. Like,
yeah.
He's a pedal cook pusher. Us up something. Yeah. He's a pedal pusher. But he, okay, going to, you know, because the internet, you guys love to have some say in things. So as we're going through that video on a sidebar here, I was holding the tote bag, kind of collecting the pedals because we were kind of shopping.
Yeah.
And he kept putting them in the bag and they kind of clang together.
Yeah.
And people were losing their minds
oh, yeah.
in the comments. Like, how dare you drop pedals? And I'm like, he's commented on the video since and like, you know, people step on these, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, people getting heated over free pedal board. moving on. Another road trip. This one was for me and John. We went north on I-65 and Keith Urban.
Oh God, yeah, that was great, man.
And then I guess you got two-parter. Two-parter. But yeah, we drove up to Cincinnati.
Yeah, that was great.
And did that outdoors with Keith Part One, which was kind of just guitars, a little bit of playing.
Yeah, he's such an amazing, just an amazing talent and incredible guy. And it's funny. So most of these things, you know, we have to go through manager and stuff like that. But I had at his number and just text him and said, "Hey, man, want to do a rig run down?" He said, "Yeah, let me check." He said, "Yeah, come on up."
Yeah,
that was it.
He's just like us, people.
Oh yeah, yeah. Only just more talented and more handsome.
Yeah, well, yeah. A lot better guitar player.
Yeah, yeah. So other than that, just like us.
So they did that, and of course, this happens a lot, and you know, it's behind the scenes, or it just is, you know, on the cutting room floor, is that we were getting in trouble with the time because like everyone else is tapping their feet, like they got a lot of stuff to do. Three other bands had to come
on load, yeah,
and then Keith was just hanging out, talking to you. You would have kept talking, but like,
yeah, yeah.
The powers that be, you know, they needed to keep moving the production along. So then Chris, his tech, was like, "Hey, come back. We're done with this run. Come back to the clubhouse, and we'll finish the rest of it." And we did that, so that was cool.
Undisclosed, very cool location, full of shit.
Yeah.
It was funny that we were. So Keith's got that, you know, his new signature PRS that they're working on. It's just a beautiful guitar, and he's talking about it. And in the background, I look up, and there's the stage manager's. Just walking back and forth, trying to do his job.
Yeah,
you know, it's a difficult position to be in.
It's difficult because at the end of the result, because they'll come to us on the camera and be like, "Hey, let's get this wrapped up." But really, what they're trying to do is get their boss quiet.
Yeah.
It's like the guy that's paying you currently to do your job is in.
He's really into his gear,
but he's also impacting you for not being able to do your job. How do you work that?
Yeah,
it's typically to tell us to quit.
You can
filming.
Kind of see stage managers get a little nervous when an artist is into it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, I've experienced that before. They're like, "Oh no, like he's going for it." Like,
yeah.
About to talk about pedals, you know, like because no one wants to tell the artist who's into it, like
right,
you know.
Yeah, this happens
your real
a lot.
Job. Yeah, your real job acts. You know, we got to keep moving. You know, like you know, the gig.
As a matter of fact, I think I remember the first time we did Isbell in Chattanooga, maybe 2016, right?
Yeah.
This stage manager comes out and is like, "Okay, you guys got half, you got like this much amount of time." And Jason literally comes out and was like, no. I spent my whole afternoon, I was like, I want to talk about guitars.
And
like,
it clearly shows.
Yeah. Those are some of the longest rundowns we've ever had. That dude knows his shit. But that was like a great feeling to know that, like, because that doesn't always happen for us where people are like, no, like, we have set some time.
Aside. Yeah, I would say there's three strong kind of vibrations we get from people. It's either super into it.
Yeah.
What is this?
Yeah. Right.
And hurry it up.
Yeah.
Those are like the three energies we get, whether a crew or artist. But if they're into it, I think both ways it makes them nervous from a production and tour manager standpoint. Because if it's someone's going into something unknown, they're nervous. And then other times when they're super into it, they can't get them off the stage.
Right. Yeah.
Both ways, you're kind of in a bind. But that was a fun one, Keith. You know, he's a great player. And
oh God, incredible.
Anything he played, you know, it was cool because part of the rundown that they went into was Keith stripping back his pedals.
Yeah.
He had them, but didn't really use them except for like modulation and stuff. And I think he had a fractal, but he wanted to challenge himself to get the tone from the Marshalls.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Yeah.
I mean, to be an artist of that level and saying, you know, I'm going to push myself. You know?
Right, yeah, to be that evolved as a player.
Take chances like that. God, and then like, I don't know, like a month ago when we were doing the Bryan Adams thing, I went to the concert that night, and he just shows up to jam.
Yeah.
You know, and just plugged right into, I guess, a Marshall.
Basement or whatever they had. Yeah,
just plugged in. He brought that same Les Paul Jr., that 60 Les Paul
the
Jr.
one you played.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
a few notes.
He brought it there. He just had that guitar plugged into whatever amp they had and just, you know, sounded killer.
Yeah, that's one that you guys will hopefully get excited about for 2026. We have that one in the hopper.
That was great.
We got some bangers in the hopper. For sure.
Okay, so what, sorry, let's, let, where were we?
Top three, we're at top three.
Oh, good.
Two of the top three are kind of on one single trip Perry and I took, but number three, System of a Down. We did that one at Soldier Field, home of the Bears.
Mind-blowing to see a band that hasn't released a record in 20 years.
Yeah.
Sell out Soldier Field two nights in a row.
Metal band, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's, you're talking at least 60, 65,000 tickets, because they had the field was the floor, and then was
then
covered.
Bubble.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was one of the biggest concerts I've ever been to, honestly.
Yeah, it was one of those, it was like this weird run that Chicago was on. They had Oasis, My Chemical Romance, and then System of a Down.
System of a Down,
I think both My Chem and System might have been consecutive nights.
Yeah.
They played multiple nights. So Chicago had about a week of four or five stadium
shows.
Yeah. With Oasis being in front of that. And so, it was wild to see that many people in the stadium. I mean, I've been to some Nissan shows, and you and I saw AC/DC this year, and but it still felt like there was way more people at Soldier Field.
Yeah,
it was insane.
Just those bleachers go up so high.
Yeah.
But Nissan packed is like close to 90, right?
Yeah.
Mm. It's packed. It is huge.
That's wild.
Yeah, especially when you use the field as a floor.
Yeah.
And it's GA. But yeah, so the System of a Down, that was cool. Darren was kind enough to get on camera and talk about that. Then we talked to his tech, who was humble and I think just wanted to be under the radar and in the shadows. But he was the singer for Damage and Plan.
Yeah,
and didn't leave with that. Didn't mention that.
Yeah, didn't. Yeah, it's
we were like, eating dinner.
Oh, you sang for Damage Plan?
Yeah. And I was like,
and filled in for Killswitch.
I was like, dude, I feel like I know that guy or I recognize him or something. We looked it up while we're eating and catering before we got to talk to Darren, and we're like, that's a guy. So we of course went and gave him a shout out for that. So, but he's the tech. He was a tech for Chavo, the bass player, for years and years, and I guess he had to switch sides. But great guy, and that was a great rundown. Like I said, it was cool for me as a Midwest guy. Not a Bears fan, but still know that Soldier Field's important, so it's cool to be on a football field for me.
Hey, everybody, I'm John Bollinger with Premier Guitar. So, as many of you know, D'Addario's been a longtime friend of PG, sponsoring Rig Rundowns, and they're a longtime friend of all the players with their Players Circle Rewards. I've been using it for years, and essentially, they will reward you for the gear you buy. Open it up, look inside, and there's a reward number. It's free and easy to sign up for. And as soon as you sign up, you immediately get some reward points just for putting your name in. After a while, you accumulate enough where you can buy more of this fantastic D'Addario gear. So as a Players Circle Rewards member, you get discounts on custom products and merch, you get free shipping, and you get a discount on the gear you're buying with your points, or free gear, depending on that. And if you're charitable, you could donate your Players Reward points for musical education. So collect those points, buy the great gear, and let's get back to more rundowns.
Number two is Linkin Park. Me and you did that at Bridgestone.
What a setup.
Yeah.
Insane.
Yeah.
So many guitars.
It's funny because the top three are all kind of from, I know I'm realizing this in real time, is that all from the same era.
Like nostalgia acts.
Yeah. So Linkin Park, Bridgestone had a huge tour. I know they put out a new record, but the bulk of the reason people still listen to them and love them is the stuff they did in the 90s and 2000s.
For sure. Yeah.
Early 2000s. But that was cool because we got Mike.
Yeah, Mike was so sweet.
And you'll get a kick out of this, as most guys that come through town that happen to do our show, they also do some shopping at some cool stores we have in town. Guys and gals will go, and in this case, Mike Shinoda was at Carter and walked out with, I think, a new Jazzmaster?
No, it was like I don't think it was new. I think he bought a 59 Jaguar or something like that.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I meant new to him, but yeah. Like a vintage, Yeah, I know what I meant. I think he just calls Fender, like, I need a new Jazzmaster.
Yeah, right.
But that was cool, and they had a lot of fun gear, and we ran into a couple techs that had been done a few of these before. Tracy. Yeah, Tracy Robar. He's a legend, but he's so kind.
Total lifer. That guy rules.
And then I can't remember his name. I apologize, but he was a part of Fall Out Boys.
That's right.
Big Rundown.
Yeah.
Joe. He was Joe's tech.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he was great, and those guys are really knowledgeable. And one that's near and dear to our heart, number one, would be Deftones.
Oh, God, what a trip.
Yeah. We got Steph, and we got to do the whole thing.
And it's on the tail of them literally releasing probably what I consider probably the best Deftones record since White Pony, man.
Private music is solid.
Private music is just so in the fucking pocket. Like, there's something about that record that somehow is all the things I love about Deftones in one album. Mm. You know what I mean?
And the thing that's cool about it, and it gets brought up in the rundown, is Steph gives Chino major love for a lot of these riff ideas in the record are from him, not Steph.
Which is very interesting.
Because he is dealing with some health issues that he gets into in the rundown. Which, kudos to him for being open about that.
Yeah,
but
that,
he gave,
that's huge.
A big thumbs up to Chino for stepping up. And it's cool to hear that that was the result of what, a little bit more hands-on from Chino in terms of guitar playing.
What lasting, staying power. You know what I mean? Like, and with that said, Chino looked amazing. Like, watching them perform, like, this dude was, he was jumping around like he was 20 years old. It was insane. I mean, he looks great, too. He's cut up. He's just fit as a fiddle. And Steph looked great.
Yeah.
You know? I'm glad that he got his health stuff kind of situated. But was even greater is that fucking rig. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Jesus.
And I know, I don't know how things like, ended with Sergio. Being no longer in the band, but Fred is a cool fill-in.
Yeah, totally.
On bass, but man, his rig sounds awesome.
Steph's rig sounded great when it was just the Helix, to be honest. It sounded phenomenal, but this is just taking it to a level that is ungodly.
Well, a guy that plays arenas can, he had, what was it, four? I don't know, six.
Yeah.
Six Bogners. Yeah.
Ultra Ubers.
Double axe effects, but and he had so many Kiesels and ESPs.
God. Yeah.
And it's Tech Greg, who's always a big help. He's been
Greg
on a couple rundowns.
The tech
meticulous.
That everybody wants.
Yeah.
This dude is amazing.
I bet he's got a little kind of portable Dyson or some type of like Shark or something in his tech setup because there's not even a speck of dust in the guitar boat.
I've never seen a cleaner.
Kudos to Greg.
Not dust. Nothing.
Yeah.
Like, it was expertly.
Yeah, I would have ate off those guitars for sure.
Oh yeah, it was unbelievable.
That Greg's out there snapping photos. He's a photographer,
killer photographer actually.
Dude's got. I don't know when he sleeps.
Yeah,
but that was the top 10. There's some other ones that I wanted to shout out for just because they're fun. I know we had a fun day with Better Lovers and Poison the Well.
That was fun.
Yeah. Because Jordan, Jordan loves E-Tid, so getting to be around those guys, Mitch Behaven and of course Jordan. It was cool because Jordan is who we see on camera in the rundown. He's wild.
He is
and
that
crazy.
Guy in real life.
He's the guy that comes up in the middle of the interview and talks about references a 1994 Sega game.
Yeah.
With his riffs.
I love that he's still playing Sega on the road or whatever.
Yeah. So this is one of those bands of our youth that kind of no longer exists. So there's another kind of formation of a super group.
Two brothers didn't get along. This band split up and now they're two
separate things
that are both really awesome.
Oh, you know what else I figured out today while I was bored? See if you can guess it. It's the pause music to NHL 94.
Ah, yes it is, wow.
When
the Zamboni is cleaning the fucking ice. Yeah.
These amps sound great.
I don't know, I thought it was fun because Will Putney was, every time I'm around that guy, I learn something. Like, that dude is just a wealth of knowledge, I think just from being a sick producer.
He just got a new 5150 that day.
I know, yeah, that day.
Like whatever the newest version PV has now.
Yeah.
He had got delivered. And Poison the Well, it was cool that you're friends with some of those dudes. You knew
I've known those guys for a long time. Which was great to catch up with them and do that rundown. That was awesome. And it just felt like a high school reunion.
Yeah, you know? Especially at the show. We all, of course, went to that show.
I've known Vadim for, 20 years.
Yeah.
Our bands used to play together and stuff. He was in this really great band called This Day Forward. And he's done other hardcore bands, A Life Once Lost. Like, really great bands. The dude is such a solid musician and all around great guy. Cool band too. Yeah. I think this is a great fit for him. Poison the Well.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I hope they come out with a new album. I know that they've been working on it, but I hope they, yeah. I'd love to hear, because I think one or two songs have come out so far.
So one rundown that I really felt good about was Daniel Donato. Because I remember Daniel Donato as a little kid on Broadway. He would play out on the street because he couldn't play in a club. And he had like a sign that said, saving for a Telecaster, you know. And cool. To see him go from that to at the Ryman doing a rundown.
Yeah.
And what's equally cool, when we're there, he's sound checking. And Joe Bonamassa shows up because, yeah, man, I just came down and wanted to support him. He's such a great kid.
Yeah, this is an album come out that day.
Yeah.
He had an album come out that day, a show at the Ryman, and then they were filming a set at Robert's Western World right after that.
Right,
they recorded
right.
the Ryman show too.
Yeah, and they recorded the Ryman show. Yeah. Like the busiest man in show business.
That's right. And it was just so cool that like Bonamassa is there just to like, just wish him support. Yeah.
To
have you know, one of your heroes there at your gig.
Game recognized game.
Yeah. Anyway, that was sweet. And of course, Daniel's a great talent and a wonderful guy.
He's so sweet.
Yeah.
It's funny because I remember coming to NAMM here when Summer NAMM was still a thing and seeing him at in the Don Kelly band.
Yeah.
So that was
also a fun hang. Daniel's cool.
Yeah.
He's such a sweet kid.
Yeah.
Here's, so the Joe Bonamassa, you bring it up and I'm going to put it out there, and I don't, you know, this is not meant in any disrespect if it ever is perceived this way, but I kind of see him, and he kind of talks about Joe being like that kind of guiding light. Is I could see Daniel being similar to Joe Bonamassa in the sense of like, he's just out there touring all the time.
Because
like he's not fitting into a band. He was with the Wild Feathers there, the Wild Feathers for a minute.
Yeah.
But he's found his lane as being Daniel Donato, doing the Cosmic Country thing, and he's playing all these gigs all the time, headline in places, and it's just like, seeing Joe and how he's kind of dialed it in, his sound and look, and how he's just relentlessly touring, and it's just paying off.
Yeah,
but I think staying to what he is, the guitar playing blues guy.
Right. Yeah. Bonamassa, I think he showed
that you can do it.
That you can do it. Yeah. And you first start with massive talent.
Yeah.
And you add tons of work.
Yeah.
And if you do those two things, it's going to work.
But what they do, those they are both resonating with people in a way that even though they play 200 shows a year, it's not oversaturating way that they still have people wanting to come see them.
Okay, so I think that's because, particularly in this AI-driven age, we as humans really like to see humans taking chances and doing things. You know, like Bonamassa, very jammy. You know, and Daniel, very jammy. And I think in a scripted, very predictable world, it's wonderful to see something in the wild like that.
Yeah, and it's something to go see someone blow doors.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's like the same reason you growing up, you'd pay a high dollar to go see Jordan play.
Yeah.
You just want to see awesome.
Yeah, somebody swinging for the fence, to mix metaphors. I'm not a sports guy. But.
Yeah, no, you're not a sports guy.
Yeah.
To say the least.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, I wouldn't have understood the Venn diagram between jam, bluegrass, traditional country fans. But like, Daniel has that advantage where it's like he can totally pull in the jam fans or the
country fans,
you know, the classic country fans,
and
or the
Billy Spring's got
Billy Spring, same deal. You kind of see this like whole ecosystem evolving around these artists. I think it's awesome.
So I gotta bring up this because I saw that he just did a Billy Strings did the NPR Tiny Desk like yesterday, and someone in the comments had identified what they call, because you saw Billy Strings a couple of years ago, and you're like, man, a lot of his fans, because you saw him at the Ryman, it's like bluegrass, and now he's become jammy, and a lot of his, what do you call them, Yetis? What do you call
Wooks? Yeah, they're Wooks for sure. But some of them, they're Wooks.
But like, there's a thing for people that are kind of like the dead in terms of following Billy Strings. They're called Billy Goats.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, that's I was like, great. I'm kind of on board with that.
I think
name.
I'm a Billy Goat.
Yeah.
Whoa, man. But I think another one that we all enjoyed, because you guys had known him for years, was Saul. Soul.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, again, he's a guy, when he was a kid, still in the UK, I saw him on YouTube, you know, as a kid, and he was just so great. And then he moved to Nashville. And it's become this just
guitarist
session
of the year,
ace, right? Yeah. It's so cool.
He's won so many. What a crazy story this kid is.
Yeah.
Unbelievable talent, but also just like.
And he's an all shucks kind of guy, too.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
He's great talent and a great work ethic. And he's a good guy. I think that's the other factor.
Good hang.
Yeah, great talent, work really hard, and be a good person.
Yeah.
Those all.
Yeah, because there's a lot of people in town. I shouldn't say a lot. There's enough people in town that someone could fill that seat.
Oh,
theoretically.
God. Right. Oh, God, yeah.
Playing wise. So it comes down to the hang.
Yeah,
he's definitely got that one down.
Okay, yeah. So in that similar vein, I thought he was just so heartfelt, and the stories he shared were so, you know, I just really believed in where he's going with his career and just where he's already done is Charlie Worsham.
Oh, yeah.
Like that the point where he told the story about Vince Gill giving him a guitar for his wedding present, and he just didn't see it coming, and he like broke down. And
so cool.
Yeah, and he almost felt like he was choking up while we're doing the rundown.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's a huge talent. Yeah. You know, he's been in Dirk's camp for a while, but he's doing his own thing. I thought that was a fun one.
Shit, I've been friends with Charlie for like 20 years, and seeing the evolution
that dude
like become the person he is now is wild.
Yeah.
Like, he's always been the best guitar player in the group, one of the best singers in the group, you know what I mean? Yeah. But like, watching him just come into his own as a songwriter and an artist and like all these things, it's like, holy shit.
Yeah.
There was this whole group of kids that all went to Belmont together, and they're all hella famous now, you know what I mean? And it's great to see the Brothers Osborne and Charlie and that whole graduating class. They all went to school together, they all wrote songs together and hung out together, and now they're all, you know, killing it together. It's great. It's really fun to see.
He kind of had a Donato story, I think, if I recall right, where he was from Mississippi and his parents would come up to Nashville, and then
he was a bit of a bluegrass phenom.
I don't really remember the whole origin story.
But I feel
story.
Like it's something similar that where he was doing that to get a guitar.
Yeah, I think he came. Yeah, he worked for it.
Yeah. One that got published in the beginning of the year that we kind of think filmed actually at the end of December, or maybe it was in January, is Jesus Lizard. Jesus Lizard. I love Dwayne.
What a cool dude.
Yeah. And we got to do that before they did a Europe run. We were trying to do it in Birmingham, I think, towards the end of their U.S. run that year. Yeah, it was in 2024. And then, but didn't get published till this year, is we tried doing it in Birmingham. It didn't work out, so we did it in the rehearsal before they went to Europe. And we got to do meet the whole band. That was cool. But yeah, Dwayne is so intellectual. He's he's a retired librarian.
Yeah,
he was a librarian here in Nashville.
I remember, totally. He was the librarian, like the head librarian at the the Westmead location.
Wow.
And I remember we would run into
this
him.
This dude
and he'd
that
like,
writes the gnarliest '90s noise rock, indie rock riffs ever.
One of the coolest.
He's a librarian.
The irony, now he's saying shh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Which is funny. In the rundown, he says to get pumped up for gigging, he will practice really loud.
Yeah.
He says he'll go into his personal home studio or hang space or whatever and cranks his amps up like he's on stage because he wants to feel it to get ready. So, yeah, the librarian gets loud.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah.
That's great.
I remember we've known him for a while, and, like, you know, he's a Nashville staple. People love this dude. And we'll bump into him and be like, he'll always say something like, you guys got your library cards, right? I'm like, yes, Dwayne, I do.
Yeah, but that was cool doing that because they're legends, and he's such a sweet guy. It was cool because I think that was the first, maybe only, but definitely first rundown where the Powers, Andy Powers'
new guitars.
Electric
the electrics.
Were
yeah, Powers
rundown.
Electric.
Oh, yeah, cool.
So he's playing
really
one of those.
Funky.
Yeah.
Man, they're so cool. Every single aspect of those is handmade. Like,
Yeah.
There's no, everything's his own design. It's insane.
We saw those at Chicago Music Exchange.
Yeah.
They're very interesting.
Yeah, it's cool for him to dip his toes, and obviously he's still running the ship at
Taylor, sure.
Yeah. Did you guys have any other ones that we want to talk about?
Okay, the thing about rundowns, I've never found gear all that interesting. I always think that stories are more interesting.
Yeah.
And that's why I really like that series that we've started, this Off the Record.
Yeah.
It's a little more lifestyles, yeah.
It is, and it's playing, you know, playing music live.
Yeah.
And then talking about whatever. So those, like, God, man, we did Joey Landreth, which was...
Yeah.
What a talent.
To just sit and jam with that dude and hear him talk about his whole crazy journey.
Yeah.
That was incredible.
He's a G-Shucks guy, but he's Canadian, so that's explains it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we did Kingfish, which was amazing. Okay, and Marcus King, but I think he might have been last year. Was he this year?
Yeah, I think he was last year.
Yeah.
But we did
Richie Faulkner.
We filmed Luke McQueary here.
Yeah.
Actually, at this location,
Right here.
Eastside Bowl in Madison.
Sierra Hall.
Sierra was awesome. And you guys sounded really good together.
Oh, well, I mean, God, sure. I can't mess that up. She's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We filmed some good ones though coming on the horizon that we'll put out next year.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, I've just so enjoyed that series because again, it is really fun to watch music just kind of being pulled out of thin air in real time.
Yeah, because you guys, if anyone's watched those and seen the ones that we've put up so far, is that you typically jam with someone on the intro.
And yeah.
You guys might find the key you want to be in.
Yeah, we'll be like...
And maybe a few chords to start it, and then it's going.
Yeah, that's it. We'll say, okay, what do you want to do? I don't know. How about something swingy?
Yeah.
In A. And we go and blow through, or then they'll... And I'll say, okay, now you come up with one.
to the credit of all the people we've had on so far, people have kind of, as you would say, hit the curveball.
Oh, man.
Yeah, people are just kind of up to go for it.
Right. Like Tommy Emmanuel, he's like, well, why don't we do... You know, I just recorded this version of, you know, well, let's do that. And, you know, it's just so much fun. And then fun to hear where the conversation goes.
Sure. Yeah. Sometimes it's more about, like, you know, a story about the song or whatever.
Yeah.
Also, I feel like this opens us up to do people that aren't necessarily touring musicians. Like with the Rundown, we love gear, of course, but you know, there's a lot more to music than that. And I think this kind of showcases that. Like, for example, we just did Tim Shaw.
Tim Shaw, that's right.
That was an awesome one.
Yeah.
What a wealth of knowledge.
And I was, okay, I was
he's like the Marty Stewart of pickups. Yeah. He's got stories and anecdotes.
He's awesome.
You were in love about that. It was...
It's like a science lesson and a hug from your dad and like...
Yeah.
Right. When we were talking to him, I was really into it. And I'm thinking, I don't know if anybody is going to connect because this is pretty deep.
That after we got filmed.
Yeah. It's pretty deep nerdery. But
he keeps it on a, you know, an altitude that I can sort of digest.
It's like a really interesting college class, like the best college lecture you can imagine on that. And I didn't think it would connect, but it's already gotten a bunch of views.
From a professor that's actually passionate about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, this guy is, he is absolutely passionate about it.
If you didn't see this is, he's a brilliant pickup maker and his contribute a lot to humbucker specifically, but he's also a failed drama major.
Yeah.
So he's great.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah.
But I think that, you know, because we want to do more builders, and I think there's always the expectation or I guess the want to do the music part, but it doesn't need to.
Yeah.
And when it happens organically, like what we've done so far, it works. But yeah, I think having just conversations, it allows us, because when we do the Rundown, there's such time constraints that while we're with these people, we want to talk to them a little deeper than just, you know, why do you have this guitar and why you use 9-gauge strings? We want, you know, because I always argued, we're covering gear, but gear makes music. And I'm more interested
in the stories.
Right.
I'm more interested in stories that you would say, you know, based on the gear or the music they make with it.
Right.
That's what I'm more interested in. I'm always trying to go there rather than, like, you know, nerd too hard on the guitars.
Yeah. Although the nerdery.
It's strong.
Yeah. And I do learn, you know, I mean, shit, I did that review the other day of the new Keeley Reverb.
Yep.
And I was using for the effects send or the for the expression pedal, I was using that
Black Mountain
Rotary. Yeah, Black Mountain Rotary that I saw in the in the Tweety.
Yeah.
So even as a player, because I'll see something and I'm like, oh my God, I got to check this out.
That's a great idea.
So I buy it. I try it. It works great. And I'm like, oh, I am learning shit.
Yeah. My favorite is the stories. Like when we did Marty Stewart, if you guys haven't seen that Rundown, you need to check it out. It's hilarious. But off camera, he was kind of telling us a story that, you know, his Blackguard is 52, I think it is.
Yeah, yeah.
He ended up with, and I think it belonged to who? Ronnie?
Mick Ronson.
Mick Ronson, that's right.
Who's David Bowie's?
Yeah. So, like, I guess that, you know, towards the end of his life, Mick wanted that guitar back, and he had his manager call Marty up and say, you know, hey, you know, he really wants that guitar back. And Marty's like, shit, no.
I think Marty said, look, he's sick, he wants to have the guitar. He goes, how sick is he?
It was just such a classy, funny, macabre joke.
Yeah, it's great.
But what a cool story. Like, I think that's interesting.
Well, and every guitar guy totally gets that.
Yeah, totally.
Well, to preview some of the future ones we got Steve Morris.
Oh, yeah.
That was cool.
Oh, God, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, and then we got, when we went to Chicago, visited CME, we did something with Nathaniel.
Oh, yeah. And Mark Spear.
And Mark Spear from Crinbin. Yeah.
Yeah,
that was a fun one.
That was cool.
Yeah.
Mark's a cool dude.
Oh, yeah, he's great. And again, those were really interesting jams because, you know, their thing is so weird. I had no idea where the jam would go.
Yeah,
right. That must
and they
be
were fun.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, it's as people, you know, in those instances we're filming, me and Perry are filming, it's fun watching to see where it goes.
Yeah.
It's kind of like two birds in flight.
Yeah.
And you don't know, or even planes or whatever, like how it's going to cross or how the landing's going to stick.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Or sometimes it's like a tennis player playing volleyball, you know, like whole different things. Yeah. And you're trying to work them together.
Separated by a common language.
Yeah.
And we got some cool rundowns coming up. I'll tease those now too, because, you know, hold on to them. And also we just get so many in the hopper in the fall. I feel like it's kind of like we're farmers, we're harvesting. Because then here
band
in Nashville.
Band stop touring through January.
We don't really see it slows down.
But we got some coming out with Blink-182.
No, great.
Yeah, we went down to Huntsville, or was it Birmingham? I think Huntsville.
Huntsville, yeah.
Did Blink-182. Cool. We got to have dinner with Dan from
Arcland Trio.
Which was so fun. That was so cool.
That's great.
Yeah, and he was such a fun hang.
Cool dude.
Yeah. The other one, John Five. That was a road trip.
Yeah. Oh man, that was great. John Five, he's incredible.
Man, he was playing. He was playing like Les Paul stuff. And
oh God, yeah. He played when we he's doing a sound check and he's doing How High the Moon.
Yeah.
Don't want to give it away, but you got to watch this, man. It is incredible.
It was amazing.
Yeah, he's a shockingly talented
guy. And that was a road trip we took to Memphis.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always fun hitting I-40.
Yeah.
Go see Memphis. Well, we did Spirit Box.
Oh, yeah.
Mike Stringer.
So interesting.
Yeah. Brian Adams.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going
to
be great.
And his guitar player. That was fun.
Yeah.
Because we got to speak with him.
Yeah.
He talked about his touring with a few vintage guitars.
Oh, God, yeah. And what an amazing career.
Yeah, Keith.
It was wild to meet you because, you know, like, I grew up, my mom loved Brian Adams, you know, and I'm not actively listening to Brian Adams as an adult, but, like, they're sound checking, and I'm like, oh, yeah, this is a banger. I know this one. I know this one.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the one from Robin Hood or whatever.
He,
you know,
like, sold 100 million albums.
Yeah.
That will never happen again.
Right. I mean, right. Yeah, that's never going to happen again. Yeah.
You got to take your cousin Tony.
Oh, yeah, my cousin Tony.
Cousin Tony got to come with us.
Yeah.
Tommy Two Plates and cousin Tony.
Yeah.
Well, then you and I got to take our friend Tyler up to the Deftones show. That was fun.
Tyler Two Plates.
When we get to bring our buddies, on the fun, that's always a good time.
Yeah, that was great.
But I think, I think we're looking for a good year for rundowns in 2026.
Yeah, I think we're already got a little leg up. We got some fun ones coming.
Throw some suggestions in the comments.
We'll let
you know what you guys want to do.
Yeah, let us know about rundowns that you'd like to see. And then also...
off the record guests.
Yeah, off the record
guests. Yeah, let's do it all.
Yeah, or any guitar stores we should visit, because I think we had such fun at CME.
Oh, yeah.
We could.
Yeah.
We like anything to get out, you know, on a field trip, so any excuse.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We'll see you guys next year.
Hey.
Thanks for watching. Appreciate y'all.
The reason we only stock D'Addario strings is because D'Addario strings are perfect.
When people come in here, they think that we get them for free or something like that, but we don't. We have no other reason except for dependability and tone.